Deeper. So we're up to connected Arba Bunim Dibra Torah. Okay, so we just talked about Baruch HaMakayim. We connected it back to the Nefesh HaChaim's Makayim and all that. And then we said Baruch HaMakayim, Baruch Hu, where it's Ne'elam, Baruch Shana Sashana Mitzal, Baruch Hu. Now, there's another pshat over here from the son of the Gra. The son of the Gra. He says an unbelievable pshat. Says like this, the Baruch HaMakayim is referring to the tzaddik, because we're going to say that there's an Arba Banim. It's referring to the tzaddik, because he sees Baruch in the Makayim. He sees the Makayim. He sees the bitachon that you have, the reliance that we have on Hashem. That's the Baruch HaMakayim. He says the Rasha doesn't see the Makayim. He doesn't treat Hashem or interact with Hashem as a Makayim. A Makayim means the place to rely on Hashem. That's what we learned from the Nefesh HaChaim, right? The Nefesh HaChaim means I'm in the Makayim. Hashem is just holding me up. Hashem is the Makayim Shel Olam. Without Hashem, I would cease to exist. So the Hashem is real for us. For the Rosh, Hashem is not so real. Hashem is a concept. So he says, for the Rosh, it's Baruch Hu. He's not here. He's there. You know? So it's like Baruch HaMakayim, Baruch Hu. He's there, but I don't feel him. And he says, Baruch Shanasan Torah Amo Yisrael, that's the Tam, because it says in the Gemara and Shabbos that Klai Yisrael were Tmimazdik when they answered Nasa V'Nishma, right? They didn't ask questions. They just took, followed Hashem. So for the Tam, it's Baruch Shanasan Torah Amo Yisrael. But for the Sheinu Yedel Yisrael, again, he doesn't understand. So he's Baruch Hu, he sees Hashem, but he doesn't understand so much about it. So he said, that's the Keneged, the four things. It's an interesting way of putting it. What? The Rosh is the Baruch Hu. I mean, he doesn't live with the Makayim of Hashem. That's the last one. The Baruch Shanas and Torah Maisel, Baruch Hu, I mean, he doesn't see the clarity of the Torah. Yeah. The who is where it's not clear. That's what he's saying. Okay. Now, the Gra, I'm sure that the next two pieces, to be honest with you, are more like a vertel, which is not so much common in the Gra. But so, first of all, So, when you say this, so what is that connected to? So normally we say the opposite of the Chacham is the Rasha, the opposite of the Tam is the Shein Yedel Lishol, right? So the Gros is not like that. He says the opposite of the Chacham is the Shein Yedel Lishol. Because what's a chacham? A chacham is someone that delves into getting something deep. He wants to understand the depths of everything. Shein Yedel Lishol takes everything at face value. So really, the opposite of the chacham is the Shein Yedel Lishol. What's the tam? A tam is not a simple thing. A tam is somebody that has full emunah in Hashem and doesn't ask questions and follows it like tamim tiya im Hashem alokecha. There's a mitzvah to be tamim, follow Hashem with purity. You know, Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked the question, is it a chisaron of tamim tiya to buy life insurance? Because, you know, you're not following Hashem with a tmimus. You're making cheshbonis, what's going to work, what's not going to work. Should you do dur yisharon? Testing, you know, the premarital testing, the genetic testing. What do you mean? Why am I genetic testing? Just marry the person. Hopefully it's going to work. Is that now? The Moshe says these are not, it's not called a lack of tmimus. It's not a lack of bitachon. But that was the shiloh. Because tamim tiyah means I follow Hashem with a tmimus. It says the opposite of the tam is the rasha. The tam is the tzaddik. Tam is a high level. Tam is not a simple guy that doesn't know anything. Tam is somebody that doesn't dig in. He doesn't need to understand it himself. He's willing to follow Hashem blindly. The opposite of that is the Rasha. It's said in the order, Chacham Rasha Tam Shein Yedel Lishol, because it didn't want to end with Rasha. So that's why it said, Chacham Rasha Tam Shein Yedel Lishol, but it's the opposite of way around. It's that really the opposite of the Tam is the Rasha. That's how he understands the concept, which is, you know, interesting. Now, the next shtickle, hard time really understanding what he wants with this. Oh. But so the Gra says like this: Chacham mahu aimer. So what's the question of the Chacham? Ma ha'edus v'achukim v'hamishpatim asher tziv Hashem okeinu asim. Now, by the way, in explaining this part of the Agada, you understand what's going on, right? The Baal Agada is saying is that the parsha of Yitzias Mitzrayim and saying over Yitzias Mitzrayim to our children is mentioned four times in the Chumash. So why is it mentioned four times in the Chumash? Must be that there's four different ways to do the mitzvah. And those are corresponding to the four children that may exist and the four ways you need to do the mitzvah. So it's not just like a nice vart, you know, four kids. The point is that there's four different ways to do the mitzvah, and that's why the mitzvah is mentioned four times in the Chumash. So the first time it says, Ba ha'edus v'achukim ha'mishpatim sh'atziv Hashem Elokeinu eschem, which becomes an interesting question that we seem to not be appreciative of the Rasha, because he's moitzi atzma min haklal, but the Chacham says eschem seems also to be moitzi himself in the klal. And then what's the answer? Afa te'emroloi, tell him the hichos ha'pesach, and ein maftir nacha ha'pesach ha'pikoyman. What's going on? So there's a lot of different pshetlach. So the Goyin says a pshetl here, a little pshat. It says that on the Korban Pesach, a person can have three questions. He can have, what are the Eidus? What are the Chukim? And what are the Mishpatim? Eidus means mitzvahs, which they themselves testify to the existence of Hashem. So the etzem fact that you're doing the mitzvah is an Eidus. So the first question is, why are you doing the mitzvah? Number one. Why? Well, what's the point of the mitzvah? Secondly, what are the ma'edus v'achukim? What are the chukim of the mishpah, of the revolve around it, which are extra halachas? And the mishpatim are the halachas that deal with the actual Korban Pesach itself. Like, how to eat, atach lo mimenu na, don't eat it raw, cooked, you have to eat it, what's it called? Then he says, Asher tziv Hashem Elokeinu eschem, is all the other dinim of the Seder. And he says, for example, those things can apply differently to different people. And he gives the example is the Korban Chagiga. So for example, if I'm eating with my group, I have three people in my group. Now, I'm lucky because three people are going to polish off an entire sheep. There's no nicer. You can't even leave over anything. So it means three people are going to sit there pounding down this, you know, coach is getting hungry. Just think about this. That, you know, three guys pounding down an entire sheep himself. Yeah, coach, you mask him?
I mask him.
So three, you know, us three guys. So I don't even want to see anything tonight. I don't want to, don't serve me broccoli. Don't serve me any salad. I'm just going to have the lamb. But he says, but then you could have a group of people. That's 10, 15 people. How are they going to eat it? They're going to eat it with a Korban Chagiga. So why do they get a Korban Chagiga and we don't? So he says, that's the question of Asher Tziv Hashem Elokeinu Eschem. How come for you the mitzvah is playing out differently than for me? I think a funny pshat. That, in other words, there's some mitzvahs. The point being that the way the Gra is learning this, possible, is that there's some mitzvahs that apply no matter what to every Korban Pesach. And that's the first question of the Chacham. What are the Eidus, the Chukim, and the Mishpatim? Those things apply to every Korban Pesach. No Goy is allowed to eat them. No, you have to eat it cooked and I'm sorry, roasted. And all these halachas across the board to every Korban Pesach. Then there's things that apply to some, yes, some not. And that's the second question. Why Eschem? Why do they have it and not me? So the Gra says, therefore we answer him, regarding your first three questions, what are the Eidus, what are the Chukim, and what are the Mishpatim? The answer is Avadim Ayin, we already said last time. Avadim, there was three parts. We were Avadim, Leparai, and Mitzrayim. And Vayotzin Hashem Elokeinu Misham. There was already three parts to the Gula that we got. We used to be Avadim, now we're Avde Hashem. So that's why we have Eidus. That's why we have the Mitzvah. Then why then the fact that Hashem took us out of Paran and took us out of Mitzrayim. So those things establish for us three categories of mitzvahs related to the Korban Pesach itself. That's what he says. So there's three, but the point is that the Korban Pesach has mitzvahs which are set in stone. Regarding the other question, How come my group does not require Korban Chagiga, but the other group does require Korban Chagiga? So what's the answer? Because the mitzvah is you have to eat the Korban Pesach when you're full. So we will be full because we're going to have three people eating the whole Korban Pesach. That group, each person's only going to get one kezayis. They have 25 people on the Korban Pesach. So how do you get full? It's not the Chagiga. First, right? So he says, so the answer to the second question is, first of all, tell them all the halachos in the Pesach, which are objective, not subjective. They're always true. And that's because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Regarding your second question, why does he have a korban chagiga and I don't? And now we say, in maftir nachar Pesach, avikoyman. The last thing you eat has to be the avikoyman. In other words, the korban Pesach is the last thing you eat. If the korban Pesach is the last thing you eat, you have to be full when you eat it. And therefore, they need a korban chagiga to eat it, and we don't need a korban chagiga to eat it. I don't know how he saw this in the pasuk. It's missing something to me. Like, I don't get where he, this is like a nice pshetel that you would find in a sefer. It's not the goyim usually like, don't make things up and put it into the pasuk. So he's like saying a whole story over here. I'm saying it over because it's here.
I didn't really follow this one, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, it's a little interesting. But the point, what he's saying is one thing that's very solid in this point. I mean, the whole shtick of the grah, everything is perfect. But the point that I think it is understandable is that he's saying that there are three levels of a question. They're edus, chukim, and shvatim. That means the Korban Pesach is made up of three parts, three halachic categories. There's edus. Edus is the fact that we have the mitzvah itself. The chukim are the rules that don't seem to make sense. The mishpatim are the rules that seem to make sense. And all three of those is because, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, Pari, etc. Okay, now. So regarding the next point is the Rasha. So I'll just start off the general idea what the Goyin says to the Rasha, and then we'll pick it up tomorrow. The general concept that the Gra is going to say about the Rasha is that the child's asking as if he's a Rasha. Then you never engage the Rasha in conversation. You don't, someone that's coming with an agenda, you never engage them in a conversation. So you answer their question, but you never address them directly. Because if you address them directly, they're just going to fight back. What you have to do is you have to talk to someone else. You talk to someone else and then you say the answer. But you don't address them. So I was saying that there was a story. Rabbi Shapiro told me one time a story with his father. His father became close to the Chazon Ish. And the question, and so he told me, how did my father become close to the Chazon Ish? He said, one time, it was Shabbos, yeah, and the Chazon Ish held, you're not supposed to wear a watch on Shabbos. So the Chazon Ish was standing there, and it was Rabbi Shapiro's father, Mordechai Shapiro, and another man. And he was wearing a shirt, you could clearly see his watch there. And the Chazon Ish tells the other guy, that's standing with him. He says, there's a clock on the wall in the other room. Can you go there and tell me what time it is? So Mordechai Shapiro chopped right away. Obviously, he knows I'm not supposed to be wearing a watch, but he doesn't want to tell me directly, Musar. So he told him, go to the watch. So right away, he took off the watch. So the Chazon Ish chopped that he chopped. So he took a liking to him. So he understands what I'm saying. So he says, sometimes with the Rasha, you don't speak to the Rasha directly. You speak to him indirectly. And he says, that's why if you look in the psukim that deal with the Rasha, it doesn't say v'igarta levincha, it doesn't say v'amartem eila. It says v'amartem, v'yoyim ha'u, v'amartem, zevach pesach u l'ashem. You just say it. You don't say it to him. That's why we'll see the psukim tomorrow. But it says, that's why it says, Ilu haya sham, lo haya nigal. It doesn't say to him. It doesn't say, Ilu hayis sham. If you would be there, you wouldn't be there. It says, if he were there, if someone like that would be there, he wouldn't have been niggal. You never speak to him. You don't answer him. You don't give him direct mussar. It's always better you speak indirect. So that's the Gra's medayik. That's why it says, ilu hayasham. If someone like this would have been there, oh, they would never have been niggal, theoretically. Right? So that's the way you give mussar. You don't say it direct to the person. You say it indirect. So we'll learn. I want to show you in the psukim where the Gra saw this, because this is not from the psukim itself. Okay, so we'll pick up the Rasha tomorrow.
Thanks,
thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good night.